My name is Tucker. I am 16 years old. Today is November 18th, and today I'm speaking with Anne, who is my family friend. We are recording this interview in Smithfield, Virginia. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Smithfield.
You grew up in Smithfield?
Yes.
What school did you go to? High school?
High school, I started at Olive White Academy, but then I switched over to Smithfield High School so that I could go to GSA.
Out of those two schools, Olive White Academy and Smithfield, which one was your favorite?
Smithfield was, because Smithfield, there were the teachers were more well-rounded, and so they taught better. And then I could also go to GSA, which was what I wanted to do.
So what did you do at GSA? Can you just elaborate on that?
I went there for dance. GSA opened, I want to say, in like 1988. And so I was the first dancing student from Olive White County. And I went in like 1989 and 1990, or maybe it was 1988, 1989. So yes, that was, I went the year after it started, which is why I switched over to Smithfield High School.
So in high school, what were your grades like? Were they good, bad?
They were good. High school was not hard for me back in the days, back in the 80s. Smithfield was really well known for helping people graduate to go to the packing plants or to the shipyard. And so it was very few people went to college. So it was, I put zero effort into school and was seventh in my class. And at that time, GSA did not give out grades.
So what type of person were you in school? Good, bad?
I was good because I was busy through dance, because even though I danced in Norfolk, I also still danced in Smithfield. So, and the people in Smithfield were just kind of lacked intelligence enough to want to be around them socially. So I had a few friends with that, but I mostly spent my time dancing.
So you graduated seventh in your class. Did you end up going to college? And if so, what college did you go to?
I was one of the few in the class that went. I went to Radford, started there on a dance scholarship, and then became completely burned out and moved to business, because that was something I'd always had an interest in, the law.
So is that what you studied, business?
Yes, I studied, it was called organizational management at the time, which is just human resources now, and minored in math and statistics because I used that to be my GPA booster.
Did you like college? In general,
I loved college so much that I had to have a minor in math and statistics for my GPA booster. So, no, it was a good time. I came from a very conservative family. And so being able to get out on my own and be my own person was a lot of fun.
Do you have any favorite memories from your childhood?
There's one memory that we go through. We talk about a lot in the family, and it was, I think I was in fifth grade, and so my brother would have been in seventh grade, and we went to Disney World one year with my grandparents' RV, and it was just this awesome experience. I don't know why, but we all remember it being just this really fun experience camping at Disney and being in an RV.
Are there any teachers that had any big impacts on your life, high school and college?
There was,
or younger,
in sixth grade, we had a brand new teacher at Olive White Academy who taught math, and it was her first year, and she should not have been teaching math at that time. So my mom got me a tutor. Her name is Becky DeShiel. She is still in Smithfield today. They own the DeShiel farm behind the packing plants. And she was a tutor for me one summer. It helped me click immediately with math, and I never made anything less than an A in math or statistics after that point.
What was the most, did they teach you any important lessons, or was it more just for school?
She helped me to believe in myself, that I could do it, that math wasn't this scary thing. I just needed to break it apart and then gain the confidence to do it.
So after college, what did you decide to go into? Like, what were your jobs?
So in college, when I switched my major, and I think about this a lot too, is that I had a guidance counselor who let me know that he did not think I should be a business major because he did not think I would do well in business. And so I joke about that a lot today with how well I have done without needing him there to do that. And what was your question?
So what did you do?
I went outside of college. I got a job. I actually went through a temporary agency that hires people to do like temp work, like take work a few weeks here and a few weeks there. And it was just more while I was getting my resume out. Well, the company that I worked for, I got a job in human resources, and then they ended up hiring me. And I've been in human resources ever since 1995.
Are you still with that same company, or are you with a different company?
No, I have, that company moved to Richmond. It was in Williamsburg. It moved to Richmond. And then I went to Riverside, where no one should ever work for more than a few years. It's just the company culture was completely opposite of anything I enjoyed. But that was a great learning experience to know what I did not like. And then I worked at a health insurance company that closed its doors when I was 7 months pregnant. And then the job I'm in today, it was 2 weeks after I had Emma that I interviewed there, got the job, and I've now been there for 16 years.
Do you think you made the right choice of going into business and becoming a human resources person?
Yes. Yes, because I always enjoyed, I don't know why, I enjoyed watching shows on the law, any of those TV shows back then, and then I enjoyed the aspects of employment law, and I really soared once I got into those classes and college. So I like the fact that I get to work with people, and to help people have a good work experience is really important. It's something that we do, you know, for at least 5 days a week, and so you should at least come in and enjoy it. It shouldn't be something where you come in and when the first thought when you wake up in the morning is, why can't I call in sick? And so I've really strived with there to build relationships with staff, and we have extremely low turnover. It's not just because of me, but it's because of the environment in general that's been created. So
at your job, has there been anything, any stories in the news that has affected you personally? Or?
Yeah, we have, in HR, there's many aspects of the job, and definitely employee safety is a big one. Safety and security are huge. We want employees to be safe while they're at work and to be in a comfortable work environment. So that's why all those laws are out there. Just like in high school with the high school shootings, in the workplace, we're seeing it where disgruntled employees are coming back in and killing human resources people, their supervisors and others. And so one of the things that we have done, and in the type of my job, I work for a government agency, and we work with those who are at a poverty level of income. And so things for them, they're on the basics of, where's my next meal coming from? How do I, where can I sleep for the night? We provide the housing. They're not homeless, but they're just like one step away from being homeless. And so between clients and employees, it can get really stressful at times because people certainly feel that whatever their issue is urgent. And so one of the things for me is through training and working and developing relationships with employees and trying to work with clients when they're upset is to make sure that we keep it a safe workplace, and respect is huge. So I make sure everyone feels respected. I make sure that I respect people. It's something I physically think about every day, is how to make sure I'm respectful about to people so that I use the right words, and that even if I have to give bad news, that I'm respectful and treat them as an adult to keep them from hopefully not coming back and doing bad things.
So have you been in a situation where those bad things have happened, or?
Yeah, there's been a few times where you can be as kind and as respectful as you want to be, and it's happened once at this employer and once when I worked at Riverside, where someone lied and they were caught in the lie but didn't appreciate being caught in the lie, and I had to have security walk me to my car every evening for weeks until they felt, I think the person moved out of the area, until it was comfortable again. And then in this position, we've had it where it's been a couple of different things where there has been an employee who had some mental health issues that were kind of came out after a few years of being with us. And when we let him go, he let me know more than once that he was going to come and get me. And so the police took care of that. And then there's been times where there was one employee that became really angry with me. He was, when you're trying to have a conversation with someone, it's easy for me if you start at the beginning of the conversation so I can follow your story. And by the time I walked into the meeting with him, he had already worked himself up. And so he started in the middle of the story, and I just did not know what he was talking about because he was at a point that I didn't know what the beginning of it was. And he came across the table at me, and we had to get security in at that time. And then when it was time for him to leave, he made a lot of accusations about me and petitioned. What am I looking for the word? That he came and put out signs and tried to get me fired because I was racist, even though it was just farthest from the truth. The department he was working in was being dismantled, and all the other staff had job opportunities to stay with us, but he would never apply or do anything for those opportunities. And he just, I guess, never thought that this would happen to him. And so when he didn't accept any job opportunities, he didn't have a job and used that against me. And people were, it was in the newspaper and on the news, and people were holding up posters when I went out of work, and I had my picture taken a number of times, and I always wondered, where are those pictures going? And so I was very thankful at that point to be living in Smithfield and not in Hampton.
So obviously with your job, you're put in certain situations. Has this affected you after the point in a personal life?
It does. It's one of those teaching moments that you just have to remember that everybody has a breaking point, and what one person sees as urgent, while I may not see it as urgent, I need to remind myself that they see it as urgent, so I need to show respect enough to make it urgent for them. It's not letting people walk on you. It's allowing you to find that appropriate place where I can still answer their questions and be respectful with it. And it has helped me that I, especially at work, I really tell myself every morning, it's like a prayer I say every morning to help me use the right words so that people can hear what I'm saying and that it will be heard well, and that, you know, to allow me to catch myself before I say something. I'm very careful with the words I use at work, which is why when I'm outside of work, I'm much more loose and free because I spend my day at work really thinking about every word and action that comes out of my mouth. And so at home, they can tell you that I don't have that issue. So
with all these events that you've gone through at the workplace, have there been any major events that you remember in your lifetime? Like major?
There have been some personal major moments. I remember when my grandfather, whom I loved just a lot, he's my dad's dad, and my dad reminds me a lot of him, and I just loved him so much, and he was sick with cancer, and when he died, I remember, plus we'll get emotional for a minute, anyway, I was like, that was a long time ago, so I was thinking that, you know, it makes you realize then how you need to put yourself sometimes in the moment when you're really angry or you're upset about how you shouldn't allow the small things to affect you, because there's other big things in this world, like people who are sick or dying. And so there's times, like even when I'm sick or if I have like a kidney stone or something, I always tell myself there's other people who wish they had what I have because they have it so much worse. And so it's moments like that where you remember empathy and That was a big one. A big historical event would have been when 9/11 happened. I happened to be engaged at that time. And it was 2 months before the wedding. And we were getting married in the Bahamas because we wanted to. He grew up in Suffolk, I grew up in Smithfield, and we just did not want it to be a large 500-person event of our parents' best friends. So anyway, we went to the Bahamas with about 25 people. And because when 9/11 happened, I remember I was at work that day, and that a lot of, well, I worked at the health insurance company, and a lot of people were concerned, like, should we shut down or what should we do? And this was in Suffolk, and we were not even close to being a target, but that people didn't know what to do with themselves. So they were just kind of frantic and sitting there and not sure what to do and should they work or should they not. It was like very chaotic at that point. The impact it had on us afterwards, which was nothing like the people in New York or DC or anything. But people who were going to come to our wedding then chose not to come to our wedding because everyone then was scared of flying. And so I had some relatives out in California who chose not to come. We had trouble with getting flights out there because airlines were, let's just say if there's like 6 or 8 flights to the Bahamas a day, they may have only had 2 because the other flights weren't filled at all. And so they were changing your time around and you had to just be flexible. And it was a lot of people getting family that went. We're talking about how they got on the plane and had anxiety attacks and things like this because it was just very surreal for them to be on a plane, not knowing what could happen. And that's before the security got really, I remember us getting in line for the airport, at the airport, they'd go through the security line and there were, so I guess it was National Guard at the Norfolk Airport. There's probably like 6 or 8 men standing there and they had their big assault rifles and everything else there and it was like, country am I living in? And so it was crazy, and they kept shutting down airports anytime something minimal happened. And so on our way back, we had gone on our honeymoon to St. Lucia, and so on our way flying back in, we had to fly through Atlanta, and this was on November the 10th of 2001, and there was some big football game, and I want to say it was in Atlanta that day, and a man had come into the airport and left his camera, like he went through security and left his camera, and he turned around and went through those gates to go back in and get it, and it shut down the entire Atlanta airport, which is a huge hub. And flights were all changing patterns, and yeah, we couldn't get home. And this was about well over 24 hours after that fact that we still couldn't get home because of the way it shut down. And so it was things like that, that it just made a big change with how everything was done. Similar today is like how they're dealing with high school shootings. It used to just be you could just walk into school, and now you've got to go through training and all the changes that go through that.
So wrapping up this interview, do you have any advice for basically anybody in the future?
So because I work at Human Resources, I think one of the biggest things that I would encourage anyone to do is to work within something where you have a true interest, because you know, once you go to college, all that does is prepare you to go work in that job, and so you're going to be in that job for over 40 years every day, 40 years. So you want to find a job that has interest, that you have like a passion for, that when you get up in the morning, not everything about my job is all unicorns and lollipops, but I don't get up in the morning typically and say, I don't want to go into work. The only times I do that is if I'm about to like let someone go. But even then, it's just a matter of let me get in and get it done, so get the bad part over. So you should definitely find something you have an interest in, because having that and then knowing that you have the life that you want, like, does it give you the right work-life balance? Does it give you what you need to have joy in your life, then that's what I would tell people to get with their job. My father taught me that he used to work at his Western Auto store, and he wanted to work in the fire department. And so he did that. And he said every day he went up to the, my grandparents owned it. Every day he went to Western Auto, he hated it. He hated everything about it. And then the first time he went into working with Newport News in the fire department, he said there was never a day when he woke up and said, I wish I didn't have to do this. He said, because he worked in that job for well over 40 years, was it? That he ended up before he retired. And it wasn't about the money or the benefits. Well, that was nice. It was something that he had a passion for. He enjoyed doing. He ended up becoming a teacher of it. And that's what I agree with, that it should be something that you find the balance that you want.
All right. Thank you.
You're so welcome.